Our sermon text today is out of Malachi, or Malachi. That's what we used to always call it when I was younger, and it's just kind of stuck with me when I see it. It's like, what's the matter? Malachi, you know? It's a good book. I really enjoy Malachi. We're going to read 3:13 through 4, chapter 4, verse 3 out of Malachi. Malachi 3:13 through 4:3. And God says, he starts off, God is speaking here. This is God saying, "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? And God says to them, you have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. And then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention to them and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God." And then he talks about what that is. And that's the beginning of chapter 4. God says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that in it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts." Powerful passage. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your words. They're not our words, they're yours, and so we can trust them. Help them to return to you the way that you want them to, Lord. Help them to do what you want them to do in our hearts this morning. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So we're looking at Malachi this morning, and Malachi, this is the last chapter of the last book in the Old Testament. These are the last words of God before 400 years of silence. Lots of things happened in that time, but there were no prophets. God did not speak. He didn't have any of his word proclaimed to us. It was the next word of God was from Elijah the prophet, who came as John the Baptist. The next word of God 400 years later was right before Jesus came. Interesting, huh? A quick timeline for today's message, I think, is... let's turn it down a little bit, guys. A quick timeline of today's message, I think, would be helpful. God's people had sinned, and they went into exile. You remember the Babylonian exile? They were carried away out of Jerusalem. But then God returned them. He returned them, and they rebuilt the temple. And then they built the wall around the city, which was a security for a city. It was a shameful thing to have a city without a wall. Then they had buildings. It was a good time. There was excitement. We think, and then Nehemiah, after the wall was built, he hung on there for about 12 years, and then he left. And we think that's when Malachi was written, because Malachi talks about some of the same abuses that were going on that Nehemiah talks about, but there's no mention of Nehemiah. You think he would have mentioned him. We think Nehemiah was gone, and we think that God used Malachi in this time. But we don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But that's just, we try to always place where things are in the Bible. You see, there had been excitement. You know, not unlike maybe an election. Remember when the election's over and people are excited if your candidate wins and there's just this excitement in the air of what's going to happen next? That's how Israel was at this time. The Jews had returned. They'd rebuilt the walls. They'd rebuilt the temple. They were again in the presence of God. To have the temple built meant that God was with you because God was in that temple. It was a huge deal to have. It wasn't about the building. It was about the presence of God in that building. And God was back. This was a big deal. But then nothing happened. They didn't have a king. They were still slaves to the Persians. And then there started becoming corruption in the priesthood, and the priests stopped doing their job, and there was just this apathy that set in, and the people kind of came to the point where, what's the point? You know, we get the temple, but we're still slaves, and the good prosper, and the good don't prosper, and the evil do, and they kind of became jaded. They expected great things, but they, what's the point, they say? They just kind of, why even bother? You know, they'd lost hope. It says in Malachi 3:13, "Your words have been hard on me," says the Lord. "But you say, how have we spoken against you?" This is really neat. In Malachi, God makes a claim, does this six times. He makes a claim, and then the people respond to that claim, usually sassy, and then God tells them how it really is. And so he goes, "You've spoken hard against me." And they go, "How have we spoken hard against you?" He goes, "You have said it's vain to serve God. You said, what's the profit in our keeping a charge or walking as in mourning before you? We see the arrogant and the evil prosper, and we don't. So why even bother, God?" They were despondent. They were filled with apathy. They were jaded. So then God answers them, just like he does six times in the book of Malachi. He answers them. He tells them, the evildoers, the arrogant, the insolent, they will receive judgment. They will. The insolent, the arrogant, they won't go unpunished. They might in this life, but their end will come. It says in Malachi 4, and we're just going to be preaching off of 4, 1 through 3 today, but you really need that beginning part to understand it. He says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. That day is coming, shall set them ablaze." The first reason in our bulletins this morning, if you want to pull out your bulletin insert, our first reason we should serve God and we should fight apathy is the wicked will be burned. Quite literally. God talks about fire a lot. Quite literally. When I was in college, we used to go camping, and I lived in Kansas, and there's a lot of dry riverbeds in Kansas. Not in the spring, but every other part of the year there are. And so we're in this riverbed, and we kick up this big bonfire, and you put a bunch of 20-year-old boys together, and they do really dumb things. And so, of course, it makes sense that we should jump through the fire. So we have this 6-foot fire, and we're jumping through it. And then some of our pants are getting singed, but it's no big deal. But it is. Don't do it. But then that night, I'm in my tent, or we were sleeping under stars, and I run my hands through my hair, and I was thinking, boy, my hair is dirty. Did I shower this morning? You ever have like dirty hair? You've been in the dust all day and it just gets real dirty. And I didn't think anything of it. And then I went home, and the next day I looked, I had hair everywhere but right here. I burned my bangs clear off. They were gone. there's consequences for making poor decisions. Sometimes you literally get burned for making poor decisions. In our text today, Malachi speaks of this terrible day that's coming. And it's going to be like a furnace. The arrogant and the insolent, they'll be set on fire by this day of wrath. It'll burn them until there's nothing left of them. There'll be stubble or chaff on the ground. The Jews, they were to the point, Malachi, what does it matter? Why even try? Here's the point. The evil will get theirs. They will get theirs. They won't go unpunished. So apply this to today. Do you ever feel like, what's the point? I do. Is that wrong to say out loud? Maybe. But some days I'm just like, what's the point? Not many days, but maybe once or twice a year. You get down. Think, what's the point? We've murdered how many millions of infants in the womb? You just kind of go, what's the point? People are calling good evil, and they call evil good. They celebrate evil. It wears you out. And God tells us the same thing this morning. He says the evil will get what they got coming. Maybe not tomorrow, but in the end, they will get what they got coming. It's not about revenge, but we do have a sense of right and wrong in us. And when we see wrong prosper, it's deflating, isn't it? And God is encouraging us. They will get theirs. Our first reason that we should serve God and fight apathy is the wicked will be burned. The second reason that we should serve God and fight apathy is the wicked will be broken. The second half of verse 1 in chapter 4 says, "The day that is coming, this day of wrath, shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies." Host means armies, meaning God is before armies of angels. That's the idea. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. You know, a furnace by nature is a controlled burn. You know, if your furnace kicks on in your house, it doesn't light your house on fire. It stays inside the furnace. It doesn't go past where it's supposed to go. It's controlled. It's contained. So in the case of this day that's coming, this day of wrath, this great and terrible day, Malachi says that it'll be a bad day for the wicked, for the arrogant. It'll set them ablaze. But it's not going to spill over to where it doesn't belong. It's not going to hit the righteous because it's a controlled burn. It stays where it's supposed to. Again, when I was living in Kansas, they have a ton of CRP down there. And so, well, at least they used to. It's been 10, 15 years since I lived there. But every now and then, they would take a disc and go around a field a couple times, go around a section, and then they would light it. And I used to love watching it when they'd burn CRP because you could see the column for miles and miles and miles. And it was just kind of fun. You know, you could smell it. And it wasn't a danger to anything because there's not much there, just some grass, and it goes. It wasn't a very hot fire. It didn't burn the roots. It just took off the top, and wouldn't you know it, a week or 10 days later, you'd see little green shoots coming through that very fertile soil now. Before long, it was just a green field. You didn't even know it was burned, except it was green at the wrong time of year, maybe. This day that is coming will burn them with an intense heat, and it's not going to be like that CRP field. It's just kind of a, is there such a thing as a cool fire? But it's not an intense fire. This will be an intense, focused heat. It will consume them. It will break them. It's not a fire you want to be in. I guess you could look at it in your own lives. If you are the wicked, you don't want this fire. The wicked will not recover from it. They will be fully devoured by it. Both root and branch will be devoured. In my office, I have one of those ivies that I think everyone has, the one you can't kill. You can starve it. You can have branches die on it, and it'll always come back. If you take a leaf off and you stick it in water, what does it do? It grows roots on it, doesn't it? You can just put it. They're bulletproof. If you have a fast-moving grass fire, like we talked about, it takes the grass off, but the roots have survived. So in one case, the branch survives. In the other case, the roots have survived, and they live. In the case of the wicked, nothing's going to survive. It's permanent. It's going to kill both root and branch. There's not going to be any recovering from this. They will be completely broken by this. In Malachi's day, the people were apathetic. They were, what's the point? Why even bother? In our day too, sometimes, why bother? People calling evil good and good evil, and people who have no regard for God, and they seem to prosper. They seem to prosper because of that. And our God says the day is coming, and it will be a day of intense heat, and the wicked will be burned, and the wicked will be broken. They will never recover from this day. I pray this is not you. And I don't like to say it that way, but if it is you, this is coming. But what of the righteous? You have a contrast here right in this passage. What of the righteous? It says in verse 2 of chapter 4, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." So our third reason that we should fight apathy is the righteous will see the sun's rising. Now that phrase, the son of righteousness shall rise with healing, what does that mean? We have no idea what that means. I've looked and looked and talked to people smarter than me. This is the only place in Scripture where it's said the sun as an S-U-N, that celestial body that keeps us from freezing, that sun will rise, that son of righteousness will rise with healing. We don't have that anywhere. We have an idea of what it means, though. There's a few theories. One theory is there was a pagan worship of sun worship where they had an orb with wings on it. And some people think that maybe he was, think that Malachi was maybe kind of touching that to appeal to that maybe that was going on at the time. It's very unlikely that's it. It's very unlikely. The other hypothesis or whatever that people think that it could be is I think it could be referring to Jesus. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. He rose from the dead. He heals us. It very well could be that. It's very plausible. It says in Jeremiah 23, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, When I will raise, so there's your rise, raise up for David a righteous branch. And we just talked about a branch that's burned. This is a righteous branch that will rise. So we kind of see that. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. So that sounds a lot like it. John chapter 9 talks about, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed the man, and he came back seeing. So we see in these things, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. He's the Son of God. He is righteous. He heals people. He rose. He has all of these things. And in our context this morning, the question is Malachi referring to Jesus as this, or is he referring to something else? You know, the people are saying, why even bother? The evil were rewarded. And God tells them the evil will get their day, and it will be a bad day. It'll be a hot day. It'll be a permanent day. And then he contrasts it with this idea of a rising sun. So it has this healing to it. It's a sun rising. I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone who doesn't like a sunrise unless they have to drive into it. There's something calming about a sunrise. There's something peaceful about it. It's the beginning of a day, whereas the wicked, it talks about the end of their day. So we don't know which one it is, but at the very least, it could be Jesus, but at the very least, he's trying to contrast that day. He's trying to contrast that day for the wicked with the day of the righteous. I remember when I was driving once, I had a little Neon, not a Neon, I had a Honda Civic, just a little gas economy car, and I was coming up from Des Moines, and it was like 14 below, and the sun wasn't up yet, and you know, when you're doing 75 miles an hour with a little Honda Civic, that little radiator cannot keep up with that cold. I had a blanket on me. It was so cold inside that car. I couldn't wait for the sun to rise. But when it did rise, it warmed up that cab like that. All of a sudden, my windows weren't foggy. It wasn't much warmer outside. It's the sun. And when the sun rises, there's just something healing about it. There's a promise that comes with it. When the sun comes up every morning, my son Jerome says, Mom, look, Dad, look, until we finally say something to him. He'll say our name 75 times until we acknowledge him. Look, the sun is out. It's gonna be a good day. That's what he says every morning. I mean, how do you not have a good day after a kid says that? In our text today, the sun rises. It's gonna be a good day. That's the contrast we see. The people are like, why even bother? And God says, this is why you bother. The wicked will be burned. They will be broken by this. The righteous will see the sunrise. Our final reason that Malachi gives us that we should fight apathy is the righteous will rejoice over the wicked. Look at the end of verse 2 and into verse 3 of chapter 4. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. I love that word picture. They will be like calves out of the stall. I think a lot of us get that one in this part of the country, don't we? I mean, a lot of you have bottle calves in the spring, and they're crazy. They're just fun. They just come up to you, and I mean, why are you licking my pants, guy? You know, or if you have goats or whatever, those baby animals, that when you release them or let them out, they are spunky. This is the way we will be. This is the way we will be when we, at the end time, the righteous, they will leap out like calves from the stall. Romans 5:10 says this, for if while we are enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. The idea is we should have been burned with those who are wicked. We deserve the same thing. We should be burned for our unrighteousness. There's a judgment for our sins that needs to be paid, and it was paid. It was paid at the cross. Jesus forgives us our evil. He forgives us our arrogance. He forgives us for the times that we called good evil and evil good. Most of us have done that if we repent and believe, because he suffered fully for that punishment. It's paid in full. He already paid it for you if you believe. There's an excitement in this. Like Jerome says, it's going to be a good day, Mom. It's going to be a good day because of what Jesus has done for us. That excitement. I don't know if we always feel like calves jumping through the stall, from the stall in our faith, because, you know, we have ups and downs in our faith. But to believe in Jesus is that excitement. It is to have that excitement to know that you are saved. God says the point is, you know, when they're saying, what's the point? Why even bother? He says, the point is, I am holy. I am righteous. And the evil will not go unpunished. I think that's part of the problem sometimes. We wonder why the evil prosper. He says, I will judge all according to my righteousness. And I will reward all according to my righteousness. They're not going to get away with anything. And you aren't going unnoticed. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. There's a man named Charles Stein. He was an officer. He was a Jewish man, an officer in the army. And he served as he was in intelligence because he knew a lot of languages. But he was an officer in both World War II and in Korea. But he wasn't born there. He was born in Austria. And he speaks of the apathy and the general indifference that was happening to the Jews in Vienna. He was going to school to be a doctor, and then Hitler came. And he said everything changed. And these are his words here. He says, two former classmates of mine who had gone to school with me in the same classroom every day for 8 years were in Nazi uniforms looking for me. They were members of the Hitler Youth, Stein said. They went to my house looking for me, and I wasn't there. Later, when I was told about it, I made a decision right then. I'm not going to come home anymore. And he said, I had quite a few Christian friends who weren't Nazis at that time, and their parents would allow me to stay at their home at night. And then in August of 38, just a few months after Hitler occupied Austria, he got a chance to escape to Luxembourg. He went to his parents, and his parents didn't have a passport, so they decided it wasn't going to be that bad, and they were going to stay behind. And they sent him with his violin and a bag of clothes. He said this, he goes, it was a tearful goodbye. Just as I stepped on the train, I heard my mom say, we will never see our son again. These were the last words he ever heard from his folks. They died shortly after. He was the only one who made it out. And then he came over here and served on the Allied side. A different time. Stein never saw them again. During the war, many said, what's the point? On both sides. How do you fight such blind hatred? How do you fight such evil? The Jews were watching firsthand as evil prospered, and evil was calling bad things good, and what was good was being called evil. In Malachi's day, the Jews were facing the same thing. Different context, but the same thing. They were expecting great things. They thought that they should have a king on the throne, but instead they were still slaves, and religious abuses. The prosperity of the evil was pretty rampant. They were jaded. They were like, what's the point? Why even try? How do you fight such evil? We see evil prosper. We see good be swept aside. And Malachi, he addresses us too. How do we fight such evil? We can become jaded, just like the Jews of old, just like the Jews in World War II, or anyone. It's not about being Jewish. If you see enough bad things, it can kind of wear you down. You see the evil prosper. You see good be swept aside. I think a lot of us think of our nation this way. Sometimes we might even say to ourselves, what's the point? And Malachi tells us the reason that we should fight that, the reason that we should fight apathy, is because the wicked will get theirs. They will be burned. They will be completely broken. But the righteousness, they will see the rising of the sun. The righteous will rejoice over the wicked. The reign of evil will end. And those who endure will see the sunrise. And they will be like those calves out of the stall. That excitement. I think of the kids who their biggest excitement of the day is walking on the altar rail, you know? I mean, That's how excited we'll be to see Jesus and to serve him. This life will be but a distant memory. It's going to be a great day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.